Guadalupe Radio presents A Christmas Carol.
Fourth chapter, The Last Spirit.
The Phantom, slowly, gravely, and quietly, approached Scrooge. It was difficult to separate its image from the night. Shrouded in a midnight black garment which concealed its head, face, and form, there was nothing visible left but one outstretched hand. Scrooge fell to his knees, quivering, and the spirit opened its dreaded mouth.
I am the spirit of the future. I lead you to what has yet to come. This night will not fall easily upon you, Ebenezer. It is a heavy burden to watch what befalls a man after his death. There is much for you to know, much for you to see. Are you ready to walk in my shadow, to see what lay ahead?
Spirit, I fear you more than any other spectacle I've seen. But I know your promises to do me good, and I hope to live on to be another man, one awakened from what I was. I am prepared to bear you company with a thankful heart. Lead onward.
The Phantom moved forward, and Scrooge traveled upon its gown as if it carried him. They entered the city, which was filled with merchants who hurried up and down the street. The spirit stopped beside a small group of people.
No, I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
What was the matter with him?
God knows. Everything.
I thought he'd never die. The old sausage.
Indeed. Humbug to the old buzzard, as he'd say.
Blimey, what's happened with all that money of his?
Lord knows he never spent a dime of it. Seems he planned to be buried with it.
Can you imagine?
A whole coffin filled with gold coins to the brim. No room for his body. Ha! What a waste.
I haven't heard. Left to his company, I suppose. He hasn't left it to me, that's all I know.
It'll likely be a cheap funeral. Don't know anyone who could stand him.
I worked with him from time to time. He was a fine businessman, but nothing much else. What do you say? We make up a small party and attend.
Oi! Only if lunch is provided.
It better not be just cheese and crackers, or we'll have to bring our own little picnic and have it by the coffin.
I do delight so in your snark.
Well, of course there best be lunch, or there won't be a soul there. He'll be so grim his won't even show up.
Scrooge? Having a soul? Well, now there's a fine laugh if I ever had one.
Mercy. I had thought he had rather enjoyed my company. But I suppose there really wasn't much else exchanged other than currency.
Meaningful transactions are often not from banknotes.
They walked into his residence as more people scurried about. Scrooge recognized his housekeeper, Mrs. Dilbert, his gardener, Michael, and even the milkmaid, Camilla, all rummaging through his belongings.
That's your account. If he wanted to take it with him, then he could have somebody here go through this. Instead, dead, alone, sticking up the house. Selfish as always. Which reminds me, those bedsheets were silk. Didn't have anything catching, did it?
Nothing a good boiling couldn't take care of. I'll give them a wash for you. They stink of meanness and cantankerous curmudgeon. I believe he had two sets. One silk, one linen. Lord knows what the other one smells of. Hey now there, girl. What have you got in that sack? Bring it to the parlor so we shall each have a look.
Oh, I was just getting his lovely black wellies for my father. They're such a nice sturdy leather and should make their way through many winters for him. His are filled with patches and holes. They're just dreadful for his poor, cold, tired feet.
Well now, if we got into a competition over whose clothing was worse off, I doubt your father would take precedence. He doesn't even work here.
But you've taken all the best things already. I've yet to go through the coat pockets and bedroom drawers. We haven't even discussed who gets the fine crystal and china.
Mrs. Dilbert, let her have the shoes. We'll split up all the fine linens and wool jackets. Not one of them is threadbare. And Lord knows I've no need for fancy dinnerware. You two ladies split bed amongst yourselves. I might be a bachelor. That's just because my dear old Martha left this world many years ago. Scrooge couldn't attract a woman to save his life. Oh! The man frightened everyone away in life to profit us finally in death.
Well, actually, Michael, I snooped round the old crawfish's drawers aplenty. And do you know what I found?
No. What?
Scrooge. Fancied a lady.
No.
Yes. On my life, I swear it. And would you know it? She fancied him too.
That old rascal. What happened to her?
Yes. Why isn't she here now?
Well, knowing him, he right chased her off, I bet. They were engaged. But she must have come back to her senses before that train wreck happened. I know she's married now, to a good man. Actually, I think it was his best friend. Well, before he met that coot Marley. Anyway, bless her heart. She freed herself from the likes of Scrooge.
Spirit, I see. This is the case of a very unhappy man who ascribed his ugliness to those around him. I see. I do not want to be this man any longer. I cannot bear bringing out this character in others. To scavenge and tear apart over meager objects. I am awake. Remove me from this place, I beg you. Was there no one? Nothing? Did I matter so little to everyone upon this earth? Did not one person grieve me? Let me see my grave, spirit. Let me see where I lay.
The grounds where you lay, since they are of such importance to you, you will see. But there are much grander things than yourself to know still, Ebenezer.
The phantom lifted its arm, and they were suddenly in the cemetery. Scrooge's grave plot was small and simple. No great mausoleum or marble statue. It was new, but looked as if it had been there for a long time. The other plots around his seemed well kept, filled with offerings, flowers, and objects of meaning from people's lives now taken by the ground.
It's so empty, alone. Forgotten. I was truly nothing to no one.
Remove the pity from your heart, Ebenezer, and look up.
A shadow emerged from the mist, carrying a single rose. It was Scrooge's niece, Adeline. She walked softly towards his grave and bent down to place the flower upon it.
Oh, Uncle. How I wish this were not your end. But be
brave soul. I love you.
Is this what you wanted to see? Have you not seen that you've been thought of already so many a time? Even when you have given great cause, you have not indeed been alone, forgotten.
Blessed child. Her heart so pure.
Indeed she is, for the living. There are angels who walk this earth. We must honor their hearts and keep them safe, lest they leave us too swiftly.
The phantom extended its long fingers, pointing to a mound of earth freshly dug. The mound was small and round, only illuminated by the light of the moon.
Whose is that spirit?
Let us go to the last destination. There is more yet for you to see.
Oh, worrisome me.
They found themselves again at the Cratchit's house, the dwelling he had visited before. But this time, it was quiet. No singing and carrying on in delight. A quiet, very quiet, solemn, empty feeling house. Mrs. Cratchit and her daughters sat at a low fire and engaged in sewing. Belinda laid her work upon the table. She rubbed her eyes.
The dim light hurts them so. I feel as if I cannot see the colors, but I hope it honors him all the same. I put little embroideries of birds in flight. He was always so keen on birds. I think if he could have been done with that crutch, he'd have been able to fly.
It's beautiful, Mother. You may not see the colors well in this light, but they appear to shine. Tim would love it. Would have loved it.
Bob Cratchit walked into the room, looking small as ever. He wore a blanket around his shoulders, and as he approached his wife, she and all the children ran to him.
Darling Belinda, what beautiful work you have done. You are so talented, my love. And Martha, let me see what you and Grace have made.
Mother put birds, so I thought I'd sew the sky, vast with plump pink clouds. Look, look here. Grace added the moon and stars to always look upon him.
Do you like it, Father? Does it please you? Tim always remarked upon the stars and how free they were to travel the night.
I love it. And I know it will be the most grand coat to wrap him in. You look as if you're nearly done. It will be finished long before Sunday.
You went today to see the plot, Robert?
Yes, my dear.
How was it?
I wish you could have gone. It will do you good to see how green and lush it is. But, I mean, you'll see it often. We'll plant some flowers where he lay. My son, my child, my little, little child, oh, my child.
Bob Cratchit broke down all at once. He couldn't help it. He left the room, went upstairs, and sat by a small bed, the indent of where someone once lay still cast upon the sheets. Bob grabbed the pillow, hugging it, breathing in the smells of who once lay there. He kissed it and tenderly placed it down again. He slowly walked down the stairs and hugged and kissed each member of the family.
I saw Scrooge's niece today upon returning. She saw I was quite in a state and asked how I was doing.
Oh, did she not hear of our terrible news?
No. I only ever saw her upon rare occasions when she'd asked Scrooge to dinner. But she was always kind. She gave us her most sincere of condolences and her cot. She said if we ever needed anything, anything at all, she'd be all the happier to assist in any way.
What a good soul. I've no doubt we will be calling on her.
Spirit, this is a temporal world of time and space, yes? Nothing is yet set in stone. I've known I've been selfish and cruel and thoughtless to others' needs. I have undermined, belittled, taken reward for others' actions, used people to the bones, taking them for granted. Change is difficult. Once one falls into routine, the trap is set. I know I am accountable for my actions and wrongdoings. I know I must change my views, and I have struggled to see how. So, Spirit of Death, this is my oath, my promise to you. I will take responsibility of my actions. I will ask for forgiveness without expectation of pardon. And I will do what I can to undo the hardships I've created. I will break my negativity by measuring my words before putting them into action. I will do this by acting inwards, meditating within, pausing and reflecting to find a positive response and lift up others around me instead of swiftly reacting. I will practice empathy and cultivate it in others by paying attention to their needs and seeing what illuminates their hearts and minds. I will truly put every effort forth to release my bitterness and act with consciousness, giving the best I can in life by doing every act, even mundane tasks, with love. I will honor the spirit of Christmas in my heart all year. I will live in the past, present, and the future. The spirit of all three shall live within me. Give me a chance to be one of those angels who walks amongst the earth.
You are awakened, Ebenezer Scrooge. Go forth now with love.
Holding up its head, the spirit's cape fell and the entity disappeared into the mist. Yes! The cape fell to the bedpost, and the bed was his own. The room was his own. And best of all, the time before him was his own.
I will live in the past, the present, and the future.
Scrooge scrambled from out of the bed, tears streaming down his face as he made his way toward the bedroom window.
Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas time be praised. I say this on fallen knees.
He was so fluttered and glowing with his good intentions that his voice broke as he flung open the windows, howling out into the brand new day. He was laughing and crying, disoriented but joyous all at once.
I don't know what to do. There is so much to be done. A Merry Christmas, everyone! A Happy New Year! You there, boy! Hello, fine fellow! What's today?
Why, it's Christmas Day!
But of course it is! I haven't missed it. The spirits had done it all in one night. Oh, the marvelousness of them! They could do anything they like! Why, yes, of course they can! My dear boy! Dear... Fine, splendid fellow. Do you know the Poulters on the street next to this one?
The one with a grand prize turkey in the window?
Yes, that's the one. Is it still there?
Yes. I just saw it myself a few moments ago.
Here, dear child. Here's a shilling. Go and buy it now. Have them deliver it to the Cratchit's house. No name attached, just a gift from the holiday spirit. After you finish, come back and I'll give you half a crown. Oh, it's so large. It's the same size as you, boy. Oh, here's more money for a tip to the delivery boy. He'd best take a carriage.
Scrooge fumbled through his pocket, making money rain down from his window. He scribbled the Cratchits' address for the boy, which he also threw down the window with more tips and a bit of wrapped butterscotch he had on his desk.
My golly! Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. What a grand, tasty treat.
Off the boy ran as Scrooge went to the bathroom, shaving and swiftly getting dressed. He ran down the stairs, passing his housekeeper.
Mrs. Dilbert, my goodness, dear lamb, get out of here. It's Christmas Day. Why are you at work? Go home. Please, here, take these bronze candlesticks to sit at your Christmas dinner. You always shine up the silvers, bronze, and gold so nicely. Oh, just take them all, whatever you like. Take any of it, all of it. You'll enjoy them more than me.
Oh, my, sir. Have you gone mad?
All of them?
What's going on?
No, my good woman, I'm awake. Awake at last. Free from the confines of my morose heart. Oh, here. There's a good bonus coming your way, m'lady. So sorry it wasn't earlier. And please tell Michael and Camilla theirs will be here tomorrow, if you'll see them. That is, they best be off today and the rest of the week. Oh, please take this week off. Spend it with your friends and family. Which reminds me, I believe I'm the same size as Camilla's father. Have her take along anything she thinks he'd like for an added pressy today. Oh, I must be off, off. Go now and enjoy this day. Cherish this time. I am so grateful to you, Mrs. Dilbert. So grateful indeed.
Well, sir, I must. This change looks rather good on you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Mrs. Dilbert. You know, I think this might be the first time in ages I've said that.
Scrooge dashed out the door before Mrs. Dilbert could respond. She just stood there, mid-dusting, with her mouth agape as he flounced out into the cold, the sun beaming down as a gentle snow fell.
Oh, glorious day! Hallelujah! Such magic abounds on this celebrated day. Sweet snowflakes, how beautiful you are! Stunning sun nourishment you bring. Wonderful, wonderful. So lucky we are.
As Scrooge danced around, admiring the earth, he came upon the charity woman from the day earlier.
Hello, hello, my good women. A very fine day it is.
I'm sorry. Are you speaking to us?
Yes, yes, of course. So beautiful, the soft snow and still boasting a blue sky. And me. Oh, me, how can I forget? A Merry Christmas to you. A Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas. I could just keep saying till my tongue falls off. Are you cold? Do you need my coat? How about a scarf?
The charity women, Beatrix and Annabelle, looked at him baffled, unsure how to answer this man who appeared so different from the day before.
No, thank you kindly, but I'm quite warm indeed.
Yes, as am I. A Merry Christmas to you, sir. I'm glad to see you in such tender spirits.
So funny you should use that word. Spirits.
Yes, spirits.
Yes, spirits indeed. I'm quite glad to have happened upon you. I'd like to make a donation. Let's set a time and meet next week. Whatever your top donor has given, I'll double. No, triple. Anything I can do, please let me know. You must forgive my earlier mood. I was out of sorts, but I assure that will never happen again. I'm as right as rain, as right as rain. And it's marvelous. Now, I must be off. Off I must be. The best of days to you wonderful ladies.
Thank you, sir.
Merry Christmas.
Scrooge bowed and off he scampered like a child, seeing snow for the first time, bouncing it off his shoes and catching it on his tongue. He made his way to his niece's house, having grabbed treats from the street vendors on the way. He pounced onto Adeline's porch, knocking erratically, hiding his face behind a large Christmas wreath. The front door opened, and placing his face into the center of the wreath circle, the big red bow atop his head, he sang out to his niece, who opened the front door.
Adeline, oh, my lovely Adeline, you're divine. May each day bring you joy.
That's the joy you bring me. Oh, Uncle, how perfectly marvelous. So splendid to see you. Are you joining us for dinner?
Yes, yes, if you'll have me. Please, beg my pardon that I'm only letting you know now. I've brought caramels for the children and some goodies for you and your husband. Where are they? I must meet them all at once. Where's Jonathan, Christopher, and darling Sabrina? Come, meet your uncle.
Adeline, is all well?
Yes, yes, yes. All is well. I am that uncle you've no doubt heard of. Please, my good sir, come, give me the honour of knowing you.
You're near shaking my hand off. Such a pleasure to finally know you, Ebenezer. Meet your grandniece and nephew.
Four eyes appeared around the corner, and Scrooge ducked to the ground, covering his face in a peekaboo fashion.
Peekaboo. Nice to meet you.
Uncle Scrooge.
The children laughed and ran over to him as he gathered them into his arms. Thus began a most cherished of holiday traditions. Games, music, laughter, and family. The next day, Scrooge was the first in the office. He sat at his desk trying to prepare the gloomiest of faces.
Hello, Cratchit. What do you mean by coming in here so late?
I'm so sorry, sir. Last night's activities got the best of me. It won't ever happen again.
You're certainly right it won't.
Bob trembled, his eyes falling to the ground.
I've sent for a carriage. I'm taking you home. But don't fret. We've an important announcement to make that must be done in front of your family.
Off they went, and surprisingly, Scrooge began to whistle on the ride, finding a jolly tune that was quite different than his norm.
Your wife rather fancies flowers, does she not?
Why, yes, sir. Lilies are her favourite.
Lilies it is. Driver, let us stop at the florist en route. And the bakery next door, we've bundles to gather.
Why, yes, sir, of course. Whatever you need. Lead on. Hoopla.
Thank you, my good man. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Oh, look, some carolers. Driver, let's stop a moment and listen.
God bless you, merry gentlemen, may nothing you dismay. Rejoice, true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. A blessed angel came to us, brought tidings, love and grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Once again, Scrooge was on the Cratchit's doorstep. Only this was the first time in reality. Bob entered first with the largest bouquet he could carry, calling out to Belinda and the children.
Belinda, children, my loves, please don't be alarmed I'm home. My employer has stated he needs to inform us all of a grand message.
My, such beautiful flowers. What's the occasion? Is something going on here, Bob?
My good lady, forgive the intrusion. My deepest apologies. I'm quite sure your opinion of me must be wary, and not too fine at all. I've not been the best of employers to your good, hard-working husband. I look to you all, the Cratchit family, and ask your forgiveness. I've been a greedy man, and ill-used your kindness, Bob Cratchit. Please know from the depth of my heart, I am truly sorry. I know this does not undo prior deeds, but you have my most humble of apologies.
This is totally unnecessary, sir.
Bob, let him finish. Please, Mr. Scrooge, continue.
I want to look you all in the eye to let you know this will not continue. Cratchit, you are a good man, an excellent worker, and an exemplary human being. I can see no one else better fit to run my business.
Sir, are you quite sure? Has something happened? Are you all right?
I'm quite all right. Indeed, the best I've ever been, in fact. I'm retiring, and I want to spend my time doing good in this world, seeing my family more, getting to know them and make up for lost time, spreading the abundance I have accrued. So first matter is getting you a mighty fine raise. You'll be taking my share. Hire who you like and take the time off you need. I insist you take the rest of this week off to spend with your family. I've included your Christmas bonus so that you might take the family to do something special. I'll need the week to get our affairs in order anyway.
Belinda looked Scrooge deep in the eyes as she crossed the room to take his hand in hers.
Thank you, sir. My family has not had it easy, and though we are strong and make do with what little we have, there are bills that need to be paid, health that must be taken care of, and it is costly. I am grateful. Thank you for recognizing my husband's worth and giving him this opportunity he has so justly earned.
My dear lady, I have not deserved such a fine man in my employment. Now let us celebrate. Let's throw some coals on the fire and gather about.
Scrooge removed from his satchel several bottles of warm, sparkling cider, breads, cheeses, pies, and candies. The children excitedly gathered to partake in the delights.
Where is this Tiny Tim I've heard so much about?
Tiny Tim limped towards Scrooge, his little crutch under his arm, eyeballing Scrooge with uncertainty.
Well, hello there, my fine little fellow. Your father speaks quite highly of you.
He's the best father there is.
Yes, well, I've no doubt about it. You know, I might wonder if you're in the market for a new uncle.
An uncle?
Yes, an Uncle Scrooge. You and all your siblings. That is, if your parents don't mind.
Belinda and Bob looked at Scrooge kindly as he sat on bended knee facing Tiny Tim. They nodded and gave Scrooge the okay.
What do you say, Tiny Tim? Do you think you'd like an uncle?
Tiny Tim gave Scrooge a rather large smile that filled his entire face. Scrooge put his hands in his pocket, feeling Marley's two coins. He pulled them out and handed them to the boy.
Here are two very special coins. They are the first installment towards your future, my good boy.
Oh, thank you, Uncle Scrooge.
Tiny Tim took them from Scrooge's hands. He looked at his family and back to Scrooge. The evening commenced with the merriest of joys as the family bonded, and Scrooge began his role of godfather in the child's life. It was a day of transformation and a new era that changed Ebenezer Scrooge's life and thusly the lives around him. And in the fashion of Tiny Tim, let us all lift a hand and proclaim in the spirit of sisterly and brotherly love, God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains
and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Christmas Carol is an original production by Guadalupe Radio, based on Charles Dickens' story and adapted by Juliette Blasor, with special performances by Addie Daddio, Seamus Dever, Juliette Blasor, Sal Lopez, Michael Sokol, Angelina Reo, Eduardo Enriquez, Cynthia Dane, Erica Ortega, Chrissy Guerrero, Jonathan Kelly, Andres Londono, Efraín Figueroa, and Denise Blasor. Graphic designer, Marta Naranjo. Recordings, Rafael Valdez and Gerardo Nevarez. Editing, Juan Matos. Original music, Marcos Loya and Juliette Blasor. Script supervisor, production and direction, Denise Blasor. Executive producer and director, René Heredia. A Christmas Carol.LA, all rights reserved.